Hello, everyone.
Just have to figure it.
Okay. So I'm looking, we looked at this issue from a slightly different angle. What our study did was assess the adherence to accepted national guidelines for immigrant and refugee screening and vaccines in an urban primary care practice. I have nothing to disclose. As the doctor said, I wish I did. So just to start off, I want to start off with a case. And this was a 65-year-old Ethiopian woman who was seen at Boston Medical Center Primary Care Clinic since 2003. And this was done and written in 2010. So she was screened for Hep B, diagnosed with cervical dysplasia, had a community-acquired pneumonia, and multiple soft tissue infections. Despite her history and her migration pattern, she was never counseled or offered a test for HIV by her primary care physician. Provider, it could have either been a physician or a PA or an NP. After 6 years, she advanced in her immigration, and due to this immigration evaluation, she got an HIV test and was positive. Her initial CD4 count was 66. And her viral load was greater than 200,000. These are not good numbers. The impact, there was a missed window of opportunity for treatment, which negatively can affect her response to HART. This gives her a poor prognosis, and also it increases her risk of inadvertent transmission. So keep that in mind as we go through the rest of it. So, backing up a little bit, 12% of the U.S. population is foreign-born, almost 40 million people. And according to the literature, these foreign-born residents have risk of high rates of Hep B, HIV, parasites, and tuberculosis. Now, the major factors in that are the burden of disease in their country of origin, a lack of immunization coverage in those countries, their migration route, and time spent in refugee camps. CDC and ACIP, which is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice, they're the ones who publish the screening and treatment guidelines for refugees and immigrants. The foundation is the basis for all adult immunizations, and then what they recommend is additional immunizations based on the country of origin and the circumstances of migration, as well as the screening protocols being based on the prevalence of infectious disease in any particular population. Now, our objective was to really look at, you know, were people getting what the CDC recommends in the primary care clinics? So the guidelines recommend testing widely. There isn't a lot of quantitative information in the literature. In fact, we couldn't really find much at all. We were concerned that foreign-born patients weren't getting the testing, and we really wanted to confirm and quantify the extent of adherence to these guidelines by primary care practitioners. Now, just wanted to say, that doesn't mean we have refugee clinics, specific refugee clinics. Now, the specifically trained refugee docs, they're doing this already. This was general primary care. So, our methods. We did a retrospective chart review of the care. I did a random sample of 100 medical records and identified the foreign-born patients by language because they are not identified in the medical record by place of birth. We extracted demographic information, migration history, screening tests, and vaccinations, and then did a statistical analysis on that information. Our inclusion criteria was that there were primary care patients not seen by the Refugee Health Assistance Program staff, ages 19 to 90, had a first language other than English or Spanish. And the reason that we excluded Spanish is because there's a large Puerto Rican population in Boston, and they are not considered immigrants. They had to be a current patient with at least 3 visits to primary care since 2001, and that they began treatment since the use of the electronic medical record system in 2001, and that was because we wanted to make sure that we had all the information. So our chart selection methods, we got a list of 28,000 charts. eliminated English and Spanish as first language, and then randomized those charts that remained and reviewed 242. So out of the 142 that were eliminated, it was 100 were eliminated because they were seen before 2001, and we didn't have information, complete information on them. 26 were seen by refugee clinicians. 12 were ASL or Spanish speaking. 3 were over 90 years of age, and 1 had less than 3 visits. And then we analyzed the remaining 100 charts. So our results. Country of origin was pretty well recorded. Migration history was only recorded by 35% of the providers. Year of arrival, 47%. Legal status, 9%. And visa type, 3%. Our key findings, in screening, 43% were screened for TB. And in this population, that's not a good number. 36% were screened for hepatitis B, 36% screened for HIV, 12 for varicella, and 5% were tested for ova and parasites. But none of these were out of the 10 patients that when you do a complete blood count and you check an eosinophil count, and if it's over 450, that is a marker for checking for ova and parasites. And sorry if I'm getting too technical for some people, but it's very important that these issues are kind of brought out. Our key findings in immunizations were that 67% did not receive a tetanus booster. MMR, only 13% were given or found to be immune, and varicella, 10% were given or found to be immune. In our analysis of the data, a few things that we found that we thought were quite interesting was that there was no statistically significant difference in the provision of care based on the category of the provider, the age of the patient, or the number of clinic visits, which is kind of hard to think about because you think if you have more clinic visits, there's more opportunities to pick things up, but actually there wasn't. There were clusters of clinical behaviors, so if TB testing was done, then folks were 5 times more likely to be tested for Hep B. There was a borderline significance between TB screening and testing for HIV. And women were 5 times less likely to be tested for HIV or screened for TB than men. I don't know why. And that's something that we put in our paper and said, this needs further exploration. Our limitations were that screening and immunizations that were recorded in the medical record were only from Boston Medical Center and our affiliated neighborhood health centers who utilize a similar system. So if people got care that were in other hospitals, other towns, or states and didn't tell their provider, we had no way of knowing that that was given. Because of the Spanish language limitations, South and Central American patients would have been excluded. It's a small sample size, and then we have the inherent limits of retrospective chart reviews. Our conclusions, we found that there was widespread noncompliance with CDC and ACIP guidelines. In this study, the majority of our foreign-born patients did not get the recommended screenings or immunizations, and which means that the patients are at risk for vaccine-preventable diseases, as well as significant morbidity and mortality from untreated TB, HIV, hepatitis B, and intestinal parasites. The implications, in a pretty extensive literature, what we found was that the creation of systemic support for guideline adherence, so not just one thing, but actually hitting it from a lot of different levels. So you'd have EMR reminders with active responses, creative use of nursing staff, nursing-based protocols, standing orders, checklists. And what they found was that clinics that used all of these had actually much better outcomes than clinics that just used one. So I wanted to thank everybody at BU School of Public Health and Boston Medical Center, especially Drs. Crosby and Dr. Chris Gill, who originated and helped in every way with this study. And there's some links and references. One thing I would really recommend if people are interested is the Refugee Technical Assistance Center, and that's a website, and they put out a lot of information about refugee health, and they're just doing an incredible amount of work that is very cutting edge. So thank you very much.